Well, good morning to you all. It's good to be with you on this very special Sunday. Recently, my wife Marjorie and I went on a short holiday in our caravan to a place in Hampshire near Fareham. And as we arrived at the caravan site, Marjorie asked me if I remember the time we came here before. I racked my brains trying to recall it, but it was no good. The occasion was clean forgotten, as though it had never happened. I just could not remember going there before. However, she did say it was about 14 years ago, so I suppose I did have some sort of excuse for not remembering. We do remember many things, don't we? But we forget many others. All of us, I'm sure, can testify from bitter experience. Things we ought to be remembering have that infuriating habit of disappearing from our minds just when we need to recall them most. And so we resort to such props as a knot in the handkerchief or a memo board in the kitchen, hoping that these may jog our memory. And today we've come together to remember those who laid down their lives in two world wars and other conflicts that are going on at this moment in time. Such increasingly is the rationale behind Remembrance Day that every year the number of those who have lived through one or both of the world wars diminishes. But for this very reason, the occasion becomes more rather than less important. It points to the fact that we cannot afford to forget the past. And to my mind, Remembrance Day does not glorify war, but rather recalls the price of peace, reminding us of the evil and inhumanity that people can stoop to and the sacrifices so many made to ensure that such tyranny did not triumph. In my humble view, it purposely thrusts things back into our consciousness, lest we forget. And I think most of you here this morning, perhaps not some members of the choir here, but you'll agree with me that the older we get, the more inclined we start thinking and talking about the good old days. And sometimes at our Young at Heart meetings on a Monday afternoon, we ask people to recall memories from the past. And it's really interesting and inspiring to listen to them. And in our first reading from Psalms, we see that perhaps the writer of this psalm must have been listening to such a discussion. Because he writes, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our ancestors have told us what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old." And then he describes how God has driven out other nations and planted the nation of Israel. When Jewish people reviewed their history, they reviewed one miracle after another: the deliverance from Egypt, the opening of the Red Sea, the path through the wilderness, victories over great armies, the opening of the River Jordan, and the conquering of the Holy Land. What a history. I hope you'll agree with me that when I say good old days are not just that, but that we can have good new days as well. Oh yes, we must remember that God did some great things for Israel. And we must always remember his mighty works, and that includes the great things he has done for his church. And remember that he is still doing great things for his people today. Perhaps when we've had a discouraging day and everything seems to go wrong, I think it helps just to sit down and meditate on what God has already done for us in the past. And I'm sure that that will lift our hearts in praise and adoration. The psalmist in Psalm 44 says in verse 4, "You are my King and my God." When God is our Lord, the same path to perform miracles that was available to Moses and Joshua and David is available to us. But we mustn't just live only on the memories of the good old days. God's promises are still valid in today's world. We see the psalmist meditates on God's unchanging greatness. God keeps his covenant and will never forget his promises. He is also unchanging. What he has done before, he can and often will do again, perhaps in different ways in the future. So we must trust him today and make him our Lord. And making God our Lord, I think, is confirmed in those verses that Peter read from Romans. This passage, to my mind, reaffirms God's profound love for his people. No matter what happens to us, no matter who we are or where we are, we can never be lost to his love. Suffering should not drive us away from God, but help us to identify with him further and allow his love to reach out and heal us. And these verses contain, I think, one of the most comforting promises in the scriptures. Believers have always had to face hardship in many forms. Persecution, illness, imprisonment, even death. These could cause them to fear that they had been abandoned by Christ. But his death for them and for us is proof of his unconquerable love. Nothing can stop Christ's constant presence with us. God tells us how great his love is, so that we will feel totally secure with him. If we believe these overwhelming assurances, we will not be afraid of the future. So we see that right back in Jesus' time and throughout the Old Testament, we are being asked to encourage and be encouraged to remember and not to forget. So let's see if on this very special day we can try and answer two questions. Why do we remember? And what do we remember for? Well, I think we remember partly because things trip us up, pulling us backwards in time, often painfully, to recall someone we loved and lost. We remember on birthdays and at Christmas time. Perhaps we recall the smell of fresh bread cooking in the kitchen, or the sound of a waterfall. And we can remember when the weather turns to winter, or like today, when poppies are worn and part of the past comes back to us. We can also remember intentionally. We can make an effort to recall someone or something. Each time in church when we celebrate Holy Communion, we hear the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we realize it's an invitation to make a new world, to build the kingdom of heaven upon earth, where the swords are beaten into plowshares, and the poor are lifted up, and the mighty cast down, and each one may sit beneath their vine or fig tree at peace and unafraid. But to remember is not merely to repeat things that have happened in the past, but also to learn from the past. To remember is to grow wiser. But it's hard to grow wise alone, isn't it? We need to have memories, but we also need the wisdom and the stories of those who have lived life before us, so we're able to learn from their mistakes and from their successes. Mothers and fathers who are able to sit down with their children and grandchildren and have a conversation with them have much to teach a hurried, confused, and materialistic world. To know that happiness is found in effort and self-giving can be seen in hindsight. And if you were lucky enough to have such a family to grow up in. It's great to discover that faith in God is not a foolish anachronism. It is something that can be learned by looking at and learning from the lives of those who have gone before us. And I think remembrance of things past helps us to take history into a better and more informed direction. In Luke's Gospel, the parable of the talents tells us we just don't get our lives to sit on them, but to do something for God with them. We're not given freedom just to enjoy it, but to make it grow so that it helps others. That means fair trade, sharing our nation's wealth, praying for freedom and justice for all nations, praying and asking our government to pursue policies which enhance the lives of all our people, rather than bettering the lives of those who have a lot. We are called to build the kingdom of heaven on earth, but not just in our own private corner, but all over it. I hope you've been able to understand my thoughts so far this morning, and I want to start to draw to an end by sharing these thoughts with you. I think we can say that memories are important, aren't they? Yet the irony is they become increasingly important during those years of life when we become less good at them. I find myself these days wondering whether I'm less able to remember or whether I simply have so much more to remember. I've noticed with my computer that the more I have stored in the memory, the longer it takes for me to pull something up. But today, we have two symbols to help us remember: the poppy and the cross. The poppy on this day of remembrance helps us to learn the lessons from the past and even the present, to understand the cost of war, the price of peace, and the scope of human self-sacrifice. It helps us not to forget, but to learn from those lessons, to live and work for peace, to stand up against evil, to serve and not to count the cost, and to work in whatever small way we can for a better world. And the cross is to help us not to forget the peace of God, and that Christian faith is all about the cross of Jesus and the peace it can bring. And we are reminded of this from the word that Jesus spoke, and that's recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 14. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Anything and everything in today's world seem to promise us a more relaxed and happy existence. Sadly, however, statistics don't bear this out. We may have more leisure time and more money than previous generations or even future generations, and we may enjoy all the latest high-tech gadgetry, yet we live in a world where stress is rife and where countless people yearn for an inner sense of peace. Well, perhaps we can find a degree of peace in this world in the sense of briefly getting away from it all. But the Christian peace comes ultimately from another source, from an awareness of God's love made real through the inner presence of the Holy Spirit. We cannot create such a peace ourselves, but we can cultivate it through making time for God, creating a space in our life for prayers and reflection, and being open to what He would do with us. Such peace involves letting go and seeing life from another perspective. another perspective than that typically adopted. But it also means taking hold of a prize greater than anything the world can give, a peace that passes all understanding. So we must not forget what has happened in the past and is happening today in the world around us. We must not forget those who are laying down their lives in far-off countries. But we must not also forget what we're about. As disciples of Jesus, this is very serious work. We must remember that it means lifting up into God's presence those you remember and have loved. It's to be done with great honesty, and it's to be done with a sense of responsibility. For who and what we are is drawn from those who went before us. They have passed a torch to us, and we must carry it forward. But in Christ, we carry forward only the Christ-like parts. We're called to discern. We are able to carry forward the dignity and the gentleness, the courage and the sacrifice, the longing for justice and the hunger for peace, and above all, the vision of a better life for all people. We are called to pick up the torch, to make this a world that reflects the love and sacrifice, not just of those who've gone before us, but the love and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, forgive us that we do not remember as often as we should, forgetting how fortunate we are to live in freedom and how lucky to enjoy peace, forgetting those who still suffer from the wounds of battle and others who even now mourn their loved ones. So speak to us today and help us not only to say the words, but truly remember them. We will remember them. Amen.